most part of that song, we were all talking. I mean, I don't mean that bad. It's just we were taking up offering, most of us. Most of us were talking through that song because we're taking up offering. But if you listen to that song, so what I'd like to do, if you could, play that again and listen to this song and let this song minister. If you know it, sing along. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, God, we want to ask you right now, Lord, to come into our presence in a special way. Father, drop down upon us right now, Lord, and just open up the portals, the doors, the windows of heaven and pour out your blessing. Help us to listen to your spirit, Father. Lord, I ask you to minister to us, help us to worship you, Father, as we listen to this song, as we experience this song, as we sing this song. Help us, Lord, to think about you, Jesus. In your name we pray, and amen. Listen to these words and let it minister to you. And if you want to worship, worship. Stand up, wave your hand, whatever. Listen to this song now.
Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, and no hope within could I see. Then they searched through hell.
Forever. Aren't you glad to be a Christian this morning? Amen. You know, I've got scars all over my hands, stitches and all of them, but I tell you one thing, they're not nail scars. And I'm glad I had a Savior that put nails in his hand to die so I could live. Now, well, anyway, I'm thankful to be here this morning. And I'm thankful. We come out here yesterday, we worked hard. A lot of them did. I get on Carolyn. She got a friend now comes, and he comes out to visit us, been here a few times. What do they do? They put a big old sledgehammer in his hand yesterday, and we tore down block and everything. And Shane, right there, Shane was the only young person here helping us yesterday. And Timmy worked like the work of Timmy's dad to death, cutting brush around here yesterday. But I'm thankful for that. Most everybody here was over 60 years old. And God's blessed us. And I keep telling them, we're going to have more people to come out and help us. Well, these guys are getting just a little bit older now. But we are thankful for who came. We're proud of that. They're concerned and they want their church to look good. And that's the way it should look this morning. So ain't anybody got anything else before we turn it over to these ladies? Bless you, honey.
1 year mark from my husband's transplant. And on September 2nd, I know it's a holiday weekend. And because it is a holiday weekend, our family was offered the gift of life. So we're extending an invitation. This is a surprise to my husband. He has no idea. I like to keep it that way. We share a cell phone, so he reads all my text messages. He noses on my Facebook, so I can't put anything out there on social media because he's very nosy. And the whole time we were going through this process, every milestone that we hit and every obstacle we overcame, he would say, I need to have a party. I'm going to have the biggest party once I get a heart and I'm better. So my mother-in-law and sister-in-law and myself have been secretly planning this party. I have Alex and Zach coming home for Labor Day weekend. And my mother-in-law and sister-in-law have reserved the senior center in Ripley from noon until 3. And we know a lot of people have a lot of plans that weekend. But if you'd like to just swing by open house style, stay for a little bit, wish him well, talk to him, get to see one of God's greatest miracles.
Amen.
And we'd love to have all of you.
Amen.
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 Amen. If you don't know, her husband got a new heart. And he was very seriously healed. Now you're seeing him walking into church fine, doing really good. So that is a blessing from God, if you don't know. All right, girls.
God alone, but sometimes I still try to take control, 'cause I get scared when I can't see the end, and all you want for me is to let go. Your parting waters making a way for me. You're moving mountains that I bring my need. 'Cause there's no fear you've not already seen. I rest my heart on all your promises. 'Cause I have seen and know your faithfulness.
That the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Well, not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, catch me when I'm falling. You told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. I am
staying in a cabin house. They're in Hinton and they're working 7/10. And I just pray God watches over him and protects him. And like I said, give him good people to be around.
Yeah.
Eddie's been in the workforce with people that they come in drinking and stuff.
Yeah.
But I know God's going to take care of him.
Yeah.
He's going to watch
Amen.
Over him and bring him back home safely. I love my kids. I love them dear. I love my family. But most of all, thank God for all that he
yes.
has.
Amen.
I
Amen. Yeah.
Bless you, Kathy.
I'm a blessed woman. I am truly, truly blessed.
Yes.
Sorry to take up your time.
No, it's God's time.
Oftentimes when we're here, we have Youth Sunday, and I sent two of my three off this week to college, and I was telling Susie just a little bit ago, I don't know why I doubt. I don't know why I let myself get hung up in still not really controlling, but trying to be mom and solve everything. Mm-hmm. I brought my kids to church. I raised my kids in church. We switched churches about 5 years ago this coming fall, and I prayed for 3 months that God would put us where my family needed to be. I have watched my kids. I'm still working on the third one. He's a redhead, and he tries my patience every day, but we're getting there. The oldest two, I have watched Alex be with the Bowtie Boys. I've watched him sing in 316. I've watched Zach with the Puppeteers, and I've helped out with that. There is so much that is offered to the youth at this church.
Yes.
And they are so welcomed and appreciated. And you can see how the generations are building the church for the years to come. Yeah. And with sending Alex and Zach off, Alex, of course, a lot of you know, came back from a mission trip to Tennessee this summer. He's involved with Crew, and this year he is going to be the leader of the prayer team on campus. Amen. And the other day after I dropped Zach off, he has a roommate who was eager to know the Lord, goes to church at Parchment Valley, and graduated with him this year. One of the things he said to Zach as he was unpacking is, I brought my church clothes. Where are we going to church? So that evening, Zach calls me on the phone and says, you know, I talked to some guys tonight, and they're with this group called Chi Alpha. He said they're not a fraternity, but they're an organization on campus that is very similar to Crusaders for Christ that Marshall has. And he has been speaking with some of the fellows that are on campus. And I told him, I said, you know, somebody told me a long time ago, if you make time for God, he will make time for you.
Amen.
That's right.
And there is so much truth to that.
Right.
I told him, make sure you follow your studies and do what you're supposed to. But if you make time for God, he will make sure that there's that time in your schedule for you to do all that you need to do. So if you could just continue to pray for my family and my boys, and thank you, Gold Town.
Bless her heart.
I can't, it's just been amazing.
Amen.
Bless you, Shannon.
Bless our heart.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Feeling it, I already have this morning.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, just to feel His Spirit moving, just to feel His Spirit calling and talking, but most of all to feel His Spirit ministering. You know, while that song was playing and we were singing, there was also another voice that most people probably didn't hear. It was a little beautiful voice coming out of it. No, gone, just left. Singing right along. You might not think that the baby was singing along, but I do. That's just what I choose, and I just think out of the mouth of babes. When we don't, they will, and I just thank God so good this morning. If you don't have Him in your heart, get Him before, get Him now, and enjoy the rest of the service.
Amen.
Bless you,
God.
Bless you, God. Probably wash them several times a day and use them for a multitude of things. But I'd like to ask you a question. As we just watched, what are your hands saying? What are they saying? You know, there are people in the world that cannot hear, but they sign language. They use their hands to talk to each other. There are people who can't see. You know what they use to hear what's going on? I just told you. They use their ears. They hear with their ears. So everything, even if we come up missing with something, there's a way that you can hear God's word. Gentleman, I think his name was Braille. He invented, I believe it, am I wrong? He invented a way that people could read by just feeling. So their hands, even though they can't see, they use their hands to see. And I thought, you know, many times in our services, you might be sitting here and you can't hear for some reason. And We're trying, we're working on that too. And I'd like for our pastors, if they would, to come up right now. We've had these for several, I guess, how long, guys? We've had them for quite a while, but I'm not talking about the pastors. We've had them for a while. But as you can see, we have different devices here that will make you be able to hear better. And if you want to use one of these, how many we have? Four? We have four sets of these. And the thing about them that's so good, put yours on, Al. It won't mess your hair up too bad. The thing about it is they've each got a remote control so you can turn it up or down. Now, if you got one like Al's, you can shut everything out but the message. And you can also shut the message out, too. If you don't like what you're hearing, you just turn it off. We only have four. Yeah. But now Rob, now we know what he's doing. He's listening to some music from someplace else. He's not really listening. But his is the same way. But if you have a need in the future and your hearing's not where it should be, then borrow a set of these or take a set of these.
Now don't borrow these, but these are in Spanish.
Where are we keeping them at?
Right now they're up here.
That right now they're up there, but if you can let
as soon as the foyer is finished, they'll be down in the foyer on a rack.
They'll have a rack for them in the foyer. And so if you would like to use these and so that you can turn us on or off, feel welcome to. But I thought as they were doing, you know, hands to praise, you know, they were using their hands. Did you understand what they were saying?
Oh, yes.
I mean, it was evident what they were saying because they were using their hands. So it's important for us to use our hands for the Lord. And we're trying to make it so that you can hear even if we all get there at some point in time. So can you hear me, Al?
Yeah, I can hear you.
He's going to turn me off, so he doesn't... Anybody want to try it this morning?
Steve, yeah. you want to try these things here for your mother?
Right there. Robbie over here is one that wants to try it. We got two more back there if you do.
Put mine on English fast, please. Anybody?
But we're thankful for all of you that are here, and we want you to be able to hear, and we want you to be able to see. We've put monitors up so we can put the scriptures up there to make it easier for you. But this morning is a special morning for a lot of our young people. Tomorrow school starts in Jackson County. Last Monday, was it Monday?
Yeah.
School started in Kanawha County. But this morning, I would like for those that are here who work in the school system, whether you teach, whether you are an administrator or counselor or whatever, I'd like for you to come up front right now. Our message today is going to be about education.
Amen.
Whatever you do, if you If you work in the kitchen. Now, when I was growing up, and I was at, well, last night we were at Ripley Middle working on the schedules. Everybody wants to see what when school's about to start. They want to see what team they're on. They want to see who the teachers are. And, you know, there are a lot of different things. And a lot of times they're disappointed. A lot of times they're so excited that they're going to be in class with a friend. And we have all a variety of workers here this morning. But when I was growing up, the most, you know, oftentimes your teacher is the most important person to you. But to me, when I was growing up, the cook was the most important person to me. And you just, you know, you didn't want to offend the cook. And you wanted to be sure and smile at him. And you wanted to be sure when you held your tray out there that you get a little extra put on there. But now I want to ask anybody here who ever taught, I'd like for you to come up right over here if you would. If you've taught at some point in your life, maybe you retired, maybe you changed professions or whatever, but I'd like for you to come up over here. So we are truly thankful that we have educators that come out of the church.
Amen.
You're always concerned what your child's going to learn and what's going to be taught them. But if you have educators or workers within the school who are Christians, it gives you a comfort level. And we're so thankful for all these who are teaching.
Amen.
And I'm going to get started on the message in a little bit, but I want those who are here who started the school last week, I want you to come up right now. Everybody that started the school last week, go ahead and come up and get right in front of these. Bobby got kicked out for the first day of school, so he didn't make it. Now, I'd like for all those who are starting to school tomorrow to come up right now.
That includes college, right?
That includes college, that includes homeschool, that includes everybody that will be starting, either or has started or will be starting. Now I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. If you're here and you have a student who's already started to college and is not here, I would like for one of the parents or both of you can come to stand in for that one. Is there anybody who has a young person that's already started off that's not here? Anybody here who wish you'd gone to school?
Yeah.
I know there are times that we wish we had, you know, did a little better or not focused on the cook as much as the should have focused on the teacher. But I'm just thankful. As Shannon said, of all of our young people within our church. And I'm thankful for those who teach here. And I'm going to ask you to come right now if you're a Sunday school teacher or have taught Sunday school at any point in time. I'd like for you to come and get right behind them right now.
Amen.
We're thankful for all of our teachers. Are there anybody else here who helps and teaches on Wednesday night? Not only Sunday school, but have taught or helped teach on Wednesday night. I'd like for you to come on right now. Are you guys too old to come down? I think you might want to come down because this is a special prayer for you. No, don't come over. He was coming over the ledge, so. His dad is Chris Kuntz, so if you're wondering who was coming over the ledge. Look around, church. We've got a lot to be thankful for.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, I'd like for everyone else, if you would just stand with us right now. We want to have this special prayer. And I'd like for all the young people to gather around the altar, if you would. If you don't care, just to bow down right there at the altar. All of our young people. Bow at the altar. Come on over here, this. Julie, did you get a picture of this? Guys, those of you that have started to school, keep up the good work. Those of you that are just starting, start a good work. Mm-hmm. And tell your friends. You see, when you go to school now, your teachers aren't permitted to teach you about Christ. But there's nothing in the rule books that you can't teach a friend about Jesus Christ. Education will start with you guys.
Amen.
Because you can lead others to Christ, which is what this is all about. So as we bow in prayer, Pastor Al, you come up if you would. And I'd like for those of you who are standing behind, lay a hand on somebody's shoulder. Somebody you're going to pray for. And Al, you lead them out in prayer right now.
Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of this day. Thank you for those that we see before us right now. Father, we pray that you'd be around about them, that you'd touch them in a mighty way. Help them as they go into their schools, Lord, that they'll be a light to those that they come in contact with. Go with us, we pray, direct us. We thank you and praise you for this day. Guide us, Lord, help us to see you this morning hour. Lord, that your name might be lifted up. Lord, help us, we pray. Lord, we pray that you would just help us. Give your name the praise for everything that you've done. Be with the teachers. Be with all these that work with these children. Lord, that you will help them. Lord, that you would guide them and direct them in the way that you have to go. Help us right now, we pray. Whatever's accomplished here today, that it can be done for the glory of your name. Lord, we just want to praise you for all that you've done. Go with us, we pray. Help us. Guide us, we pray. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, we ask it all right now. Thank you, Lord. Help them, we pray.
And the finisher of their faith, Lord God. That, Lord God, that they would be a blessing and a stepping stone, our Father. We ask in the name of the greatest name, the Son of Eternity, in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Does anyone remember what Christ taught, that if you offended one of these little ones, you remember what he said it would have been better? A millstone be put around your neck and you cast. It's so important for us to teach our young people. It's so important for us to teach them what is right and what is wrong. Now you say the teacher is the most important person in the school system. Or the teacher is the most important person in a child's life. That's not true. Can anybody tell me who you feel is the most important person in a child's life? Their parents, their mothers and fathers. Today, we live in a society when young people, many of them this age, have to get themselves up to go to school. Mom and dad don't know where they're at, don't know what world they're in. But to you who are here today that are parents, you're the most important person in your child's life. Bring them up, train them up the way they should go when they're old. They won't stray away from that. Now, how much time, I'm asking you as parents, how much time do you spend with your children? You say, well, they're old, they're grown, and mine are old and grown, and you know, but you're always teaching. And you're working with them at all times. You say, what do I teach my child? I want you to think about that in yourself. What am I teaching my child? Am I teaching my child that the most important thing in their life is a relationship with Jesus Christ? Or am I teaching my child to do flips? Is there anything wrong with that? No. Is there anything wrong with teaching your child how to play ball? No. But just don't leave the Lord out. Just don't leave the Lord out. How long has it been since you prayed with your child? How long has it been since you knelt beside your bed and had your prayer before you went to bed? You say, well, they're in high school now, they're too old. You're never too old. You're never too old. You say, well, they're only 4 years old, so they're too young. We were talking with one of our sons the other day, and we showed him a picture back when he was 4 years old. And he began to tell us everything that went on in that picture at 4 years old. And I thought, man, you know what that's telling me? They're picking her up, whether you know it or not. And probably the greatest thing they're picking up than anything you know is your habits. You hear kids come to school and they're cussing, they're talking about sexual things and all that. And you say, where are they getting that at? Well, if they're not getting it at home, they're getting it off their cell phone, which was provided by who? The moms and dads have provided them. So it's very important, and I wanted to just touch base on education in the Bible. I think school was only mentioned, one reference I found was once, and another reference was There were three locations where it was mentioned. But where do we find teaching in the Bible? From the beginning to the end. There's teaching there. And I want you to look with me, and I want you to ask yourself the question, what am I teaching my child to do? How am I getting... Look with me on the sixth chapter, or the fifth chapter, I'm sorry, of Matthew. Anybody know what was going on in the fifth chapter of Matthew? There was a teaching session going on. Anybody know who was teaching? Jesus was. He was out there on the, see, it's in red. He was teaching. He gave them the Beatitudes and he taught them about the law. He taught them about a lot of different things. But in this particular verse, the 19th verse, I want you to think about that millstone that we mentioned earlier. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so. There's that word teach. Do you know that there are parents that teach you the wrong things? They teach you how to get by in life is to steal, to lie, to do everything you can just to get by. But look what he says here in this scripture. He says, whosoever shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Is that everybody's desire here this morning? To be called the least in the kingdom? What do we want? We want to be the greatest. We want to be the best. But listen to what it says. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Parents, you got an awesome responsibility. And I thought in the scripture, in the Old Testament especially, learning came. Where do you think learning started at in the Old Testament? Started in Garden of Eden. But in most cases when people, who was responsible to teach their children? The parents were. The father and mother. You know, we have a society, sometimes we get it in our mind that, hey, I'm the breadwinner. Mom's supposed to do all the teaching. Mom's supposed to do all that. And I'm not going to ask you who's guilty of that. Although I'm probably guilty. But I thought the format there was to teach from the home first. Informal training at the house. How long has it been since you taught your child anything? You say, we work with them with animals. We work with them with sports. We work with them with doing their homework. That is wonderful. But the thing I think we fail sometimes to work with them is this right here. We don't provide the word to our children. And here it says they were taught by their... And then if in the Bible time, in that particular time, if the parents needed help, they went to their extended family to teach their children. And I thought, you know, some of the things that were mentioned that they taught at home was moral instruction. Anybody give me a definition of moral instruction? What does moral mean? Huh?
Upright.
Doing things unto others. Do unto others before they do unto you. Is that it? Is that to what the scripture says? What does the scripture say? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Is that moral instruction? I think it is. You know, how we live with those around us. Cultural patterns. Why would people in the Old Testament teach people about culture? In the Old Testament, so often, what did the Hebrew children decide to do for themselves? They wanted to venture outside of their families. They wanted to check out the world. Is there anything different in that today? What do children want to do? They want to get out from under mom and dad's care. They want to get to college as quick as they can and what is it the world tells us to do? Do your own thing. Do your own thing. But if you've taught them the Word of God, they'll understand when they get out there what they're supposed to do. They'll understand when they go to school tomorrow and in any day of the rest of their life. They'll understand how they should handle situations. So, and then they also taught them about historical events. In the Old Testament, what might have been a historical event that kept coming up from time to time? How they got to where they were, but what was one of the things they would teach them? How he brought them out of Egypt. How did he bring them out of Egypt? They crossed the Red Sea. Was that a miracle? Sure it was. But you see, a lot of young people at that time had never seen that. A lot of young people today have never heard that scripture. I remember when I was in the ninth grade, I went on a field trip, and the fellows that were with me, they knew I was Christian. I mean, I didn't go out and brag about it all the time or anything, but they knew where I stood. So we got in a debate over the Red Sea crossing. And you've probably seen this or read it before. You know, a lot of them will say, you know, it was only ankle deep, so it wasn't no problem for them to get across. If that was the situation, what was the miracle? He drowned Pharaoh's army in 6 inches of water. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? But I believe we need to teach our children about where we came from, our history. Our country didn't start out like it is right now. Our country started out for freedom of religion, to get out from the suppression of government. And I thought, you know, we need to teach our children that. But one of the topics which they're okay with teaching is evolution. But they don't want the Bible. They want the Bible out. So if they're kicking the Bible out of our schools and our teachers' hands are tied, that they can't do it unless the child presents the, you know, starts the topic, then where are they going to get the Bible? They're going to get it at home. They should be getting it at home. If they don't get it at home, they'll get it here at church. How many hours a week are we here? This morning we were here in Sunday school for half hour, 45 minutes. Wednesday night we're here for hour and a half maybe. Part of that is recreation, but part of it's learning. That's not much for a week in what they'll learn. So, as they did in the Old Testament, we should be teaching our children in our own home. We should be showing them what morals they need to follow. We should show them what the world has offered to all of us. We should show them where we came from as a nation, historically. But the greatest of these is spiritual guidance. Spiritual guidance. Our children need to understand who the Holy Spirit is. And they need to know that He will speak to you when you're having a rough day at school, when you're having a test that maybe you didn't study like you should have. Anybody ever did that? Took a test when you weren't really prepared, and then you're then you're kind of freaking out, I guess you could say. Trent, is that right? Has that happened to you? I went back to school after I'd been out for several years, and I had my first test. And I started, when I was getting ready to take my test, I was hyperventilating. I thought, I'm going to have to find me a bag around here somewhere. But because it was something I wasn't used to doing, and something, you know, I thought I was prepared, but, you know, those things happen. But I thought, you know, it's important for us to teach our children they need to study God's Word. It's important that they need to know who the Holy Spirit is. It's important to know that they can come to church. And they started doing this in the Old Testament. They started going to the synagogue to get their teachings. And later on, some of them actually had some formal teaching. But you know what it was, the formal teaching back then? It went to the rulers. It went to those who worked for the rulers. It went for those who were of the what they considered the higher class. So they are the ones that got all of the extra formal. And I thought, you know, how many in here has ever been in a library? Some of you haven't been in a library. I thought back in this time, about 300 or the 3rd century before Christ, one of the largest libraries in the world was in Alexandria. Anybody know where Alexandria is? It's in Egypt. It's up where the Delta of the Nile comes out. It was the capital of Egypt. But they had a library there. We go to the library now, what are we looking for? Books. They didn't have books back then. They had scrolls. And this particular, I just had to go by what they said there, but they said that they had at least 500,000 scrolls that you could check out. But so many people couldn't even read, because they hadn't had that training. Another place said that there was up to a million volumes. So you didn't go in and check out they probably wouldn't even let you check them out. But you would go there to read. You would take the scrolls and unroll them. But Alexandria was a part of that. And I thought, and I'll be finished here just in a minute. There was another place there that there was a lighthouse built in that area. And the lighthouse was 400 feet tall. What do we use lighthouses for? What do they tell us to do now? What's the song say? Tear the lighthouse down. Big ships don't pass this way anymore. But here was a lighthouse that was built by a man and his son, 400 feet tall, and it was one of the 7 wonders of the ancient world. And you can imagine, you know, as the ships came in, but that was back before Christ. But I thought about teachers and starting talking about family. Turn with me to Timothy. Timothy, the second chapter, 2 Timothy, the second chapter. And the 15th verse. Timothy, anybody know who Timothy's teacher was? Somebody said Paul, but who was there before Paul? His mother and his grandmother. Eunice was his mother, and I thought Lois was his grandmother. Is Lois here? They had to leave. Okay. But you know what they taught him, according to the Word? They taught him the Scriptures. They taught him the Scriptures. And I'm saying this just for you this morning. How many Scriptures have you taught your children? And but listen to what it says here in verse 15 of the second chapters of 2 Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How can we rightly divide the word of truth? Can we do that? By doing what? Studying. And he will show you if you lean on him. Now, let's turn to the third chapter of that same book. Verse 16, it says this. This is why it's important to study God's Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's what God can do for us if we study His Word. We know who God is. We know why the Scriptures were written. Sometimes we don't know why the Scriptures were written. They were written so that we might know who God is and what He wants us to do in every situation. Is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I think it's important for all of us to take a look at God's Word. You remember Saul when he was studying? You know who taught him? The Scripture says it was Gamaliel, who was a learned Sanhedrin. He was part of the Sanhedrin, but he was an educator. So there were times when some of those in the Bible got that extra education. Luke was probably another one. What do we know Luke as being? He was a physician. He was a doctor. We have doctors among us today. Steve, who taught you how to be a doctor? Many. It's not something you do overnight, is it? It's something that, you know, you have to put your stay. If you want to be a doctor of God's Word. Spend your time with Him studying, and I'm sure He will help you through. So young people, tomorrow when you go to school, remember who's with you. The Lord's with you. Okay, who's in control? The Lord's in control. God's in control. So you don't have to worry because mom and dad aren't there. I thought as we were at the school at about 8:30 last night, and there were still people outside looking at the posting on the wall to see what class they were in. And you know, that's important to them, but we need to tell them what's the most important thing. It's not algebra. It's not chemistry. Those are important, but the most important thing is that they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. As we get a song of invitation, if you're here this morning, you need to get closer to the Lord. You're here this morning, you want to do more for your children. You're here this morning and you got a problem. He's in control, and we encourage you to come as we stand, as we sing. Page 34.
first verse again.
Yesterday, and for all the hard work they've done. And we're also thankful for all of our young people. Yes. And this morning they're having the dinner over there for you, just as a little extra fundraiser, and show them your appreciation. Go over and build you a burger. Okay, if you lost something, Robbie stole it. You got it. Anything further? Chuck wanted me to announce they are going to have a corn toss tournament over there during the fellowship. Is cornhole. I always see them tossing it, so I thought that's what it was called. But he's asked that if you are planning on participating in that get you a partner and you get to go to eat first so you can get it started. So now everybody wants to participate. He had five last Sunday, but now he's going to have 105. But if you wish to participate in that, just as soon as we dismiss, if you'll work your way out and get in line first so you can get started on that. The board will be meeting after we build our burgers. And anybody else have anything? Do we have a new one with us this morning? Can you bring her up, him up, them up? She's unbuckling. Grandma, you have to come too. Now, I'm going to ask Sandy to tell us who the mother and father are first. He's a teacher also. And what's...
What's the name?
David Lee
II. Amen.
Yeah. David Lee II. How big is he?
Last Friday weighed just over 6 pounds. We started off at 5'5". We are growing.
Thank you. See, standing up here, I can't see those little pretty faces. You know what I'm seeing. I'm not going to say. But Todd, dismiss us and pray for the food that we're about to partake in.